A brief commercial message before you see your video. Creating a so-called Palestinian state would be national suicide for Israel. First, there has never been a Palestinian people. The terms Palestine and Palestinian have no historic validity. Israel is surrounded by 22 hostile Arab Muslim countries with over 640 times the size of land than that of the tiny Jewish state. If the Jews surrender Judea and Samaria, Israel will be only 6 to 9 miles wide. If you agree that Israel must never retreat to such suicidal borders, then join the Jewish Task Force, JTF. You don't have to be Jewish to join. The link to join is below.
Shalom. Welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema for Sharon Mittman and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel Pesach Zev Ben Chava Harab Mir Kahana Yosef Ben Meir Bari Hoffman Ruven Hoffman and Robert Mittman. This week we want to speak about something that we have spoken about since the 1973 Arab oil embargo that started in the Yom Kippur War, when it became clear that the United States was artificially dependent upon Arab, Muslim, Nazi oil-producing countries. There was an artificial dependence there. And because of that, the Arabs used oil to blackmail the United States and blackmail the rest of the world. And ever since then, in 1973, we Kahanists have spoken about this issue. And we have noted that the United States has abundant, massive energy resources. The United States could easily become energy independent and easily become a massive net exporter of oil. The United States, in fact, has the technological and scientific capability and the natural resources to put the Muslim terrorist oil-producing countries like Iran and Saudi Arabia out of business forever. Put them out of business. That would be the biggest blow to Islamic terrorism. That would be the biggest blow to the national security threats that the United States and the Western world are confronting now. That would prevent Muslim terrorist states from being able to develop nuclear weapons, because they wouldn't have the tens of billions of dollars that you need to build a nuclear weapons program. And, of course, despite the attack that we had in London and Manchester and these other attacks that we've had in Europe and in the United States recently, where Muslims have been murdering innocent men, women, and children, as terrible as that is, and it is terrible, the number one threat, the number one nightmare, which would be 1,000 times worse, 1,000,000 times worse, would be if these Muslim terrorists acquired weapons of mass destruction, acquired nuclear bombs. That is the ultimate nightmare. And that is something that is coming very quickly, because the Muslims have massive petrodollar resources because of this artificial dependence on Saudi Arabia, Iran, and other Muslim oil-producing countries, something which, again, is completely artificial, completely unnecessary. And Donald Trump promised in his campaign that he was going to put an end to this. Donald Trump promised in his campaign that he was finally going to enact policies that would reverse the terrible policies that the United States government has implemented, which create this artificial independence, which prevent America from developing her own energy resources, which prevent America from becoming the Saudi Arabia of shale oil and clean coal and all the other energy sources which America can provide, not only for the United States, not only for the American people, but for the whole world. Do you know what it would do to the American economy? You know what would happen to the American economy if America put the Arab oil producers and the Muslim oil producers out of business, and if the United States became the source for the world's energy, for the whole world's energy? If American technology and American science and American brain power was used to produce the energy that the world needs to function? Do you know what that would do to the United States economy? You would see, by far, the biggest economic boom in world history. By far, the greatest prosperity this country has ever seen or ever dreamed of, if that happened. But because the United States government and presidents, Democrat and Republican, have, for instance, put 80% of America's coal off limits. 80% of America's coal, we're not even allowed to mine the coal. 80% of America's oil and shale and all of the other resources we have are off limits because of phony pseudo-environmental regulations. The fact is, the environment would improve tremendously if America became the premier source of the world's energy, if American technology was able to develop, and America could develop clean technology with all of these resources as well, clean coal and clean shale oil and clean natural gas, clean technology. If America was able to do this, it would also improve the environment. But aside from the environmental effect, the national security implications, the economic calculations would be so overwhelming. And yet, 80% of America's energy resources are off limits. We're not even allowed to go and drill for oil and mine for coal and develop the shale oil, and we still don't have the pipelines and the other infrastructure we need. We don't have any of this. Now, the Paris Climate Agreement, which is what was very much in the news because Donald Trump suddenly announced the United States is quitting the Paris Climate Agreement. All baloney, all a bluff. Let me explain something to you about Donald Trump. He's just like Benjamin Netanyahu in terms of being a bluff. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, talks tough and caves in and does terrible policies. For instance, Netanyahu says, we will not accept a freeze on Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and certainly not in Jerusalem, our capital. We will never accept that. That's what Netanyahu has been saying, and that's what he told Obama when Obama was president. And yet for 8 years, while saying he would not accept a freeze, he implemented a freeze. In other words, he said he won't accept a freeze, and there has been a freeze in effect for 8 years. In other words, he tells the people of Israel something which is not true. But if you look, you'll see that the Israeli government has implemented a building freeze. That is a building freeze that's been in effect for the past 8 years, and he's continuing it now. Trump also asked him to continue the building freeze because Trump is just as anti-Israel and just as bad for the Jews as Obama was. Just as bad, maybe worse. And because Trump is really focused on getting Israel to commit suicide. And so Netanyahu is continuing to prevent Jews from moving to Judea and Samaria, which is the only hope we have for preventing a so-called Palestinian state from arising, which would be national suicide for Israel. The only hope we have for that, Netanyahu is blocking it and preventing it. And he's been doing this for over 8 years. And while he's doing it, he insists he's against the building freeze while he's implementing a building freeze. That is the worst type of phony, two-faced leadership you can possibly have. That's a nightmare when you have a leader like that in a country like Israel. He talks tough about Iran, and Iran is such a threat, and Iran's an existential threat. Meanwhile, the Israeli Air Force, which could destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, does nothing. And Netanyahu first became prime minister in 1996, 21 years ago he was prime minister. He was prime minister for 3 years in the 1990s, then he became prime minister again about 8 years ago. So for 21 years, there's been this talk from Netanyahu about this, and he himself has said that Israel can destroy Iran's nuclear program, but he doesn't do it. He just makes speeches. All he does is make speeches and surrender and give in and do the worst possible things for Israel. That's Netanyahu, a bluff, a liar, a fraud, a coward, a disgrace, the worst type of leader you could have. Trump is the same thing in the United States, even though their styles are different. Netanyahu is very slick and very polished as a speaker and a debater. Trump is the opposite. Trump is a very poor debater and a poor speaker, even though his stupid followers think that his disjointed, nonsensical speeches are wonderful. They think it's fantastic because he sounds like they do. But anyway, and that's what impresses them. They didn't like Ted Cruz, who is the best speaker in America today. Is Ted Cruz? He's the best speech giver in America, the best debater in America today. And him they didn't like because they said, his speech is so perfect. He sounds just like a lawyer. In other words, Cruz, who was educated and efficient and effective and gave facts and spoke to people like adults. He respected you. He spoke to you intelligently. And you didn't like that because you don't want to be spoken to intelligently because you're not intelligent. And when I say this, I'm referring to the Trump supporters. Because you're dumb. And so you like when someone speaks to you like morons. And so Trump speaks to you like you're idiots. And he changes his position 5 times a day and double-crosses you and breaks every promise, and you still support him no matter what. He himself bragged. You remember, he himself bragged. I could shoot people on Fifth Avenue and I wouldn't lose any support. My supporters will still support me, and that's been proven true. He's broken every promise already. Now, this week, Trump pulled a BB. He's the same type of leader that BB is. He said he's quitting the Paris Climate Agreement, and all the Trumpster said, oh, how wonderful. You see, he is keeping his agreement. Okay, we're not, so far he's not building a wall, and it's not in the 2017 budget. He promised, remember, build that wall, build the wall. That was his number one issue. No money for any wall in the budget this year. Okay, so that's not happening right now. Obama's health care plan is not being replaced or repealed, and in fact, the one that Trump is proposing in many ways is worse than Obama's plan, is even more socialistic and has more government control than Obama's did in many respects. We're not getting anywhere. Trump just approved and proposed with the Republicans in the Congress a spending bill for the 2017 budget that is bigger, that increases spending more than the rate of increase that we had during the Obama years. He's spending money right now at a faster rate than Obama. But he says in the future he's going to propose spending cuts. In the future, in other words, all talk, this is what Netanyahu does. In the future, I'm going to do this for you. In the future, I'm going to do that for you. In the future, I'm going to take care of this problem and that problem, and we're going to do this and that, and then breaks every promise. That's what Netanyahu has been doing for 21 years in Israel. That's what Trump is doing now. And his supporters still don't get it. But anyway, we now see he claims he quit the Paris Climate Agreement. And the Paris Climate Agreement is terrible. It's a horrible agreement. It's an agreement that prevents the United States from developing her energy resources. It's an agreement that perpetrates the myth, the lie, that there's global warming. By the way, in the 1970s, when I was a teenager and I was in school, they taught us that we had global freezing, that the world was going to freeze. Then they decided to change it to global warming. I thought, that's such a fraud, such a farce, such an absolute farce. Anyway, Trump promised he was going to change all these policies. So this week he said he's pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement, and everybody, and all of his supporters said, oh, wow, this is so great. The Paris Climate Agreement is still being fully implemented because the provisions in that agreement, which compel companies to restrict what they do in energy development, those companies already announced that they're going to still abide by the Paris Climate Agreement. Trump's Secretary of State was the CEO of ExxonMobil, a big supporter of the Paris Climate Agreement, and Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, the Mobil Exxon CEO that Trump appointed to be his top cabinet officer. He supported the Paris Climate Agreement and was a longtime supporter of the myth of global warming and all the pseudo-environmental stuff. Why? Because big oil companies like Exxon and Mobil, all these big oil companies, they used to be two separate companies, Exxon Mobil. Now they're all monopolizing, becoming one big giant mass. But these big oil companies, why do they support the environmental movement? Do you know that the oil companies, the oil companies, the companies that supposedly, the environmentalists are supposedly against them, you know, they through their foundations, are the biggest financiers. They give the biggest grants to all these pseudo-environmental organizations. Why would they do that? Because they want America not to develop domestic energy resources. They want to keep America dependent on Saudi Arabia and on the Persian Gulf and on Iran because they make more money with foreign oil shipments. When there's foreign oil shipments and there's dependence on foreign resources, particularly Muslim terrorist countries, they make more money. The American people get screwed, and the American economy is screwed. and America's survival and security is placed in grave jeopardy when that happens. But they make more money. So they don't want America to develop her own oil. Because if America replaces the Saudi oil and the Iranian oil and all the other oil from the Muslim terrorist countries, if America develops all of those energy resources and America becomes the source of the world's energy, which would be a dream for the American people, for us it would be a dream come true. If that happened, there would be massive competition to find the shale oil and the clean coal and the mining and the fracking and all the other things that have to be done to really develop all of America's energy resources and natural gas. There would be thousands of entrepreneurs and thousands of little companies coming up that would be competing with these giant monopoly oil companies. And so these small up-and-coming companies, they don't want that. They, ExxonMobil and all the big companies that control Trump's energy policy, and they also controlled Obama's energy policy, these big oil companies, these giant oil monopolies, they want America to remain dependent on foreign oil. And they couldn't care less about America's national interest or American sovereignty or America's economy. They couldn't care less. Or American national security. Couldn't care less. As long as they're making a profit, they don't care. Rex Tillerson admitted when he was the CEO of ExxonMobil, he admitted that he said, my job is not to worry about America's interests. My job is to worry about ExxonMobil's interests. In other words, when there's a contradiction between his company's interests and the interests of his country, he will choose his company over his country. Rex Tillerson admitted that in an interview. And he's now the Secretary of State of Donald Trump. So this is the type of farcical situation we have. And these companies are continuing, but the companies that really control what goes on in the United States, they're continuing the Obama economic policies and the Obama energy policies. They're continuing all of this. Trump pulling in or out of the agreement is having no effect on any of that. Not only that, you get states like California and New York and these other left-wing states. They say, look, we're going to pass these regulations. You are going to abide by these regulations on the state level. And so what happens? The big companies, whether they're the auto companies or the oil companies or the energy companies or the shale companies, people that are doing fracking for shale oil, any of these companies, when they have states like New York and California imposing regulations on them, it in effect becomes, in most cases, a nationwide regulation. Because let's say you're a company, a national company, and you want to do business, right? And the state of California, which has over 40 million residents, the state of California says, you're going to continue to abide by these environmental regulations. You're not going to have separate policies in California and separate policy in the rest of the country. It's just not efficient for your business. And the state then says, we won't do business with you unless you abide by our rules. You don't want to lose all your business. You don't want to lose all your customers in California and New York and other left-wing states that are passing these laws. So you're going to continue to abide by what they tell you to in California and New York and these other left-wing states, no matter what Donald Trump does. So his policies are not effective, are not changing anything. So why should we complain? Then the question comes, why would we complain about him if his policies, if there's nothing he can do? Because there is something he can do. The one thing he can do, and this is what he should have done, and this is what Ted Cruz was going to do if Ted Cruz had only been elected president. This country would be like paradise. Ted Cruz was going to open up all of America's energy resources. He was going to open up everything to oil drilling and to shale oil fracking and clean coal. He was going to open up the mines and the oil fields and open up all of America to fully develop America's energy resources. Trump has not done that. He's not doing that. He's signed some executive orders that make very minor cosmetic changes that have no real effect on the overall direction of policy. It's all for show. His little executive orders on energy have all been minor cosmetic changes. Ted Cruz was not only going to pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement, Ted Cruz was going to truly open up the 80% of America's energy resources that we're not using now, that are off limits, that you can't even use, you can't even develop. Can you imagine if we could develop all of America's energy resources, if you can do all, if you would be allowed to really drill and really mine and really explore the way, you know, the way America should be doing? Can you imagine what that would do for the economy? Donald Trump's not doing that because the giant corporate executives, and it's not just the energy companies, it's also the tech companies, these giant corporate executives that don't want competition, they want to destroy competition, they want socialism because socialism stifles competition, they want to have monopoly control over these industries, and they do have monopoly control in effect over the industries. They're the ones who are telling Trump, don't touch the laws restricting where we can drill and where we can drill and where you can mine and all these other things. You can make little adjustments here and there and claim to open up this mine or this oil field. In other words, there are a few minor adjustments for show that he's been doing. But they're like a drop in the bucket compared to what America should be doing. He's not dealing with the real problem. The real problem is we should open up all of our energy resources. And if we did, not only would America be completely energy independent, not only would America become the source for energy for the whole world, but it would be better for the environment in the end. Because then you have tremendous strides in scientific knowledge and advances in science and advances in technology that benefit you all across the board. It would benefit you in terms of the need to develop environmentally sound technological policies. You would have tremendous advances in all of those areas. Tremendous advances, you know, even in terms of medical science and cures. You know, when you make tremendous technological advances in one area, it affects everything else. Like, for instance, when the United States was exploring space, was sending up rockets into space, you know that led to medical advances. You know that led to all types of technological discoveries. When you have great technical innovation in one area, it spills over into other areas. It broadens your knowledge and your awareness and your ability to create things in other areas, in other technological endeavors. That's what the United States could be doing. That's what the United States should be doing. That's what the whole Western world should be doing. But they're not doing it. Donald Trump has not really changed anything. We're continuing Obama's energy policies. Nothing has really changed. So, this is why we, unlike the Trumpsters, are against Donald Trump. We're not interested in someone who tells us he's going to do something and it's all a bluff. We don't support people who bluff. We want real policies. Don't you think if Donald Trump really changed, drastically changed America's energy policies and put the Arabs and the Iranians and the other Muslim terrorist countries out of business, don't you think JTF would be the most enthusiastic supporters of Trump if they did that? That's what Ted Cruz was going to do. That's one of the reasons why we supported Ted Cruz. But Trump is anti-Israel, and he's anti-energy independence, and he's continuing the environmentally crazy policies of Obama in most cases, while giving lip service to those who are against those policies. It's all a fraud. It's all a lie. It's all a fraud. It's all a show. It's all snake oil. And so it's astonishing that we're going down this path. And this is the worst possible scenario. Because at least when Obama was president, of course, Obama's an evil person. We wish him all the worst things in the world. He's a despicable evil person. His whole family is evil. And Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton are evil. Which is a Hebrew blessing for evil people. As much as we hate the Clintons and the Obamas, at least when the Clintons and the Obamas were in office, we knew they were evil, we knew they were the enemy, and so conservatives and Republicans were resisting them. Under Trump, there is no resistance. No resistance. He has killed off the resistance. He implements the same terrible policies, by and large, with cosmetic differences here and there. And if implementing the same policies, he also kills off any resistance, any pressure from the outside to implement true policies and to wake the American people up. That's terrible. It's disastrous. It's the same thing Netanyahu is doing in Israel. And because we live in a generation where people are so superficial, are so simple-minded, are so gullible and so foolish, it's so easy for politicians, phony politicians like Trump and Netanyahu, to fool people. And that's why sometimes our message is an unpopular message. Fortunately, in Israel, I would say, 20-25% of the people of Israel are to the right of Netanyahu and agree with our criticisms of him from the right. I wish we had those numbers in the United States. We don't. We don't. But growing numbers of conservatives are recognizing that Trump is a fraud, and more will as time goes on, because you're going to see that his policies are an absolute complete sham. We've got to wake people up. So much is at stake. The danger of Iran and other Muslim countries developing nuclear bombs, the danger of the Muslim population explosion and the Muslims taking over Western countries eventually. All these dangers, the terrorist threats and the security threats and the cultural threat. You know, hundreds of thousands of young Europeans are converting to Islam. I mean, you have a huge movement now because of this vacuum that exists, this spiritual vacuum that exists in Europe. And that's going to happen here too, where people are turning to the Muslims. The Muslims are successfully converting people to their religion. So we have tremendous challenges and tremendous threats. We got to wake people up. We got to wake people up before it's too late. We are focused on Israel because it's a small country of 6 million Jews. And with our budget, that's basically what we have to focus on. We have an advertising campaign. I'm very pleased to say that our advertising campaign is reaching at least tens of thousands of people. You know, Israelis come up to me. Israelis here. It just happened again just the past several days. Young Israelis came up to me and recognized me from our videos. It's something that happens on a regular basis now. I mean, our videos are being seen by more and more people. But tens of thousands of people seeing the videos, it's not enough. We want millions of Israelis to see the videos. Then we could truly change Jewish history and change what happens in Israel. If you change what happens in Israel, you change what happens in the world. Because God decides the destiny of the world based upon what happens with his people in the Holy Land. So we're trying to wake people up. We're doing what we can. I noticed something very comical. People who don't like JTF come on and say, they say, oh, your forum is not what it used to be. That's true. The JTF forum in English is not what it used to be because we decided to move from the forum to having our main page. Our main page has far more people coming to it than our forum ever did. So it's true that the forum has less activity because the focus now is on the main page. Everything Shlomo does, all the articles he does 6 to 8 articles every day. And all of that focus is on the main page. The main page has more people and more traffic than the forum ever had. So we're actually doing better than we were doing in terms of traffic. We're doing better. And this is the English language movement, the Hebrew movement especially so. But I'm even the English language movement I'm talking about now. Our focus is not the forum anymore. If people want to come on the forum and post in the forum, they're welcome to do so. But the forum is not what it used to be because we decided we're going to move to this main page. This is going to be what we're going to concentrate on. And the Trumpsters who hate our movement now because we're against their orange Mussolini idol, they come on and say, "Oh, your forum is not what it used to be." We this is the way we planned it. This is the way we planned it. Shlomo does not devote his time to building up the forum every day. He devotes no time to that. The only thing he does is take a few minutes to copy the articles that he prepares and the stories that he prepares for the main page. He copies them on the forum. He posts them on the forum, which is a minor thing to do. But that's it. We don't invest anything in the forum. We don't take time to do anything for the forum. Our focus is on the main pages, especially in Hebrew. Especially our advertising is 100% for the Hebrew. 100% of our advertising goes to Israel and Hebrew and the Hebrew advertising campaign. 100% of the advertising budget. And then the English language movement, even that is focused on the English main page. So, just so that you'll know, okay, our movement actually has more people coming to it. Even the English language movement has more people actually coming to it than we did in the days when we were focused on the forum. That's something that the Trumpsters have never been able to figure out. But that's fine. We don't care about that. We need to wake people up, though. We need to reach not hundreds, not tens of thousands, but hundreds of thousands and then millions of people in Israel. Every time you support us, everything you do to promote us helps us reach more people. So help us. Help us financially. Every check, money order, cash donation sent to the post office box, it does make a difference. It enables us to reach more people. And all the contributions that are made on PayPal, of course, if you want to come on PayPal, you want to do it online for convenience sake, you can just go to our Hebrew. You can just go to our Hebrew main page. On top, there's a donate button in English. And you click on there, and in a couple of minutes, you can very conveniently donate online. We need your financial support. We also need you to promote our movement. We need the more people that come to our movement, the more you promote our movement, the better off we are. The stronger we are, the better off we are. The more people we reach, the better chance we have for influencing things for the better. And believe me, we are a pain in the neck to Israeli politicians. The ones we're attacking are very aware of what we're doing in their videos. They consider us to be a pain in the neck. They are complaining about, they complain about us, and their supporters complain about us. And, you know, we are a pain in the neck to them, and we're waking up a certain segment of the population. At least someone is telling the truth. At least someone is telling the truth. And I know that you, the great JTFers out there, understand the importance of that. So let's work together, let's fight together as a team. If we do that, we can still make this a better world, God willing. Until next week for JTF, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.